My name is Pete Edgerton from your Harrogate local radio station, and welcome to this, the O'Connor Chiropractic Podcast. If you listened last month, thank you very much. We were chatting about back to school, and now that the children are back, let's focus on you, shall we? Particularly if you're working from home. So I'm here at O'Connor Chiropractic, the Family Wellness Centre on Station Parade in Harrogate, and I'm with the main man, Dr. Jason O'Connor. Jason, great to catch up once again. Working from home, it's a phrase that has been used over the last, 2.5 years now. I do it, many more people do it, and unfortunately, it's leading to quite a few issues, isn't it?
Yeah, I think I saw immediately, because we didn't have to close in the initial lockdown. But obviously a lot of people didn't come in because they didn't know what to do. So we had several weeks where we closed, and obviously it was a bit of a concern. Oh, when will the patients come back? You know, have I got a business anymore? So there was, like a lot of people, the same worries and concerns that everyone had. But then suddenly we started getting phone call after phone call after phone call of more and more people with issues with their spine and headaches and migraines and neck tension. From working from home, because everyone's environment changed, and immediately we saw an effect on people's health. So I'm not saying that was the only contributing factor, but I think, you know, a lot of people maybe had underlying issues going on, but then the stress of lockdown, then from working at home, and then trying to do the homeschooling, which was an absolute nightmare. I can remember that. But suddenly it put a stress, and all these weaknesses started coming to the surface. And I think the problem is actually that's continued, because now people are saying, well, actually, we can work more from home. You know, there's more convenience, I can understand from that, and maybe more time, family time. But actually, there's a negative impact, you know, on people's overall health.
So with regards to the headaches and migraines that you mentioned, how do they arise from something as simple as sitting down maybe at the kitchen table and working on our laptop, let's say?
Yeah, so people have gone from maybe a proper desk setup. So they've got a desktop computer, they've got an office chair, they've got the desk, they might even had ergonomic advice at work, so they've got it all set up nicely, and now suddenly they're doing it from home. You know, how many people do emails now from their phone as well? But let's say they were given even a work laptop to work from, the posture's changed quite considerably. So you're in tight, you're looking down, the table height might be wrong, you might be sat on a bench or a very unsupportive chair. So the load through the spine has changed quite significantly. And that's why it didn't take much time at all before people were really getting symptoms from that. And we talked before about, in the last episode, when we were talking about children and their heads coming forward. So it's exactly the same as your head comes forward, the head's the heaviest part of your body, the kind of mechanical load then through the neck muscles. Where do those muscles attach? They attach to the base of your skull. We know there's a high concentration nerves called the cranial nerves. One of them's the optic nerve, one goes into your vestibular cochlea, goes in your inner ears. So we're getting all these people now with, you know, visual symptoms, dizziness, you know, headaches, migraines, nausea. And it's because of, like I say, that increased stress load that they're putting on their neck, which is affecting their central nervous system. And the thing is, just popping pills, you know, headache tablets, things like that, it's not changing the spine. You know, you may be numbing things temporarily, but actually, if you continue that pattern, you're allowing it to get worse and worse. The pain's not the problem. The pain's your body's way of saying, whoa, stop, things not right. But we often just ignore that and try and keep trudging on and actually making our health worse and worse.
And I mean, the first, well, as the pandemic drew on, people a lot suffered with anxiety and stress. Can a lot of that result from that poor posture as well? Maybe just sat. I mean, for example, you'd shout at me because when I've worked at home in the past, I've sat on the sofa, which I know myself. I've got a few cushions wedged at the back as a bit of lumbar support, but it's not really giving proper support, is it?
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of people, when they've said working from home, it's a very loose term, isn't it? And people sometimes sat in a deck chair in the garden, or, you know, they think, all right, I've got to do some emails, why don't I just sit on the sofa? you know, I'll make myself a nice, you know, people didn't even get out of their pyjamas, did they? So they're sat on the sofa with the pyjamas on, with a mug of tea, and, you know, computer up on the side of the sofa, twisting round, maybe got, you know, the TV on in the background. So again, people thought, oh, brilliant, this is nice and relaxing short term. But then, yeah, the back started hurting, the neck started hurting, you know, and then they started thinking, this isn't such a great environment to be in. You know, that repetitiveness kicked in. And then people are like, oh, this is not just a short term, this is actually getting longer. And I think that's when you said people's anxiety levels start to go up. And, you know, what we know is humans, we're hardwired for that fight or flight response is hardwired. So when we feel stress, our nervous systems think we're going to be attacked. So what we tend to do is we flex. So our shoulders come forward, our head drops, you know, we want to bring our knees up. Think about if someone came at you with a baseball bat, what would you do? You'd curl up.
Curl
into
a ball.
Into that fetal position. So that's not something you think about, that's actually a reflex. So the same thing is happening when we're under this chronic level of stress. And it's because of self-preservation. So what the body's trying to do is protect our vital organs. So that's why we curl up. Now, lots of other things start to change in the body, which is absolutely fascinating because they're all good to save our lives in the short term, but actually cause, you know, chronic illness and, you know, problems in the long term. So what we found is we divert energy and we divert systems. We switch systems on, we switch systems off to, again, create more of a higher rate of survival in that stressful environment. So our digestive system shuts down, for instance, because that's used a lot of energy, lots of blood flow. So we get that out to our arms and legs, ready to fight or run away. You know, blood pressure goes up. We've shown that insulin levels are altered. So there's all these like hormonal changes, physiological changes in the body, which are designed for short-term kind of survival to give you that burst of energy. But as I say, if that environment doesn't change, so we continue to go back to that, as I say, trying to teach our children homeschooling, trying to get work done, feeling trapped in that environment, this is when we get these chronic kind of type issues coming on, you know, like I say, like depression, anxiety, digestive issues, poor immune function. So these are all the impacts, you know, long term of this kind of, the stressful environment that we've been in.
And I suppose it's only human nature, isn't it? In some cases, when that happens, you're feeling a little bit low, maybe your tummy's feeling a little bit off, or you're just generally feeling low energy. Our brains sometimes tell us, rest up, take it easy, just sit down, don't do it. And I suppose that can accentuate the problem.
Yeah, and you think, you know, we just have to look around. A lot of people put on weight, didn't they? Because exercise went out the window. Even though we had more time, it was really interesting. People did less exercise, you know, because a lot of people think, oh, God, I'd exercise more, I'd join the gym if I had a bit more time. But actually, we had more time, but our motivation, our energy, enthusiasm wasn't there. And that's why people exercise less. That's why people had more takeaways. You know, interestingly, again, we had more time to cook, but they found companies like Deliveroo, Just Eat, they went through the roof over lockdown in terms of their growth. And I think most people, you know, who lost, you know, couldn't work, they were actually working, doing, I know lots of the patients took up work with them because they were just so busy and so much more need for it, so much demand for it. Other thing that went up is alcohol consumption, massively. They found that over lockdown, the number one thing that was ordered from Amazon was vodka. So again, it was like this stressful environment, you know, and at first people thought, oh, this is cool. And we're, you know, got more time at home, more time with the kids, you know, the weather was quite nice. It kind of changed because we brought all these bad habits in. And I know that, you know, as you say, 2.5 years later, we're still seeing the after effect of that. Certainly I'm seeing the clinic with, you know, people's mental health, their postural health, physical health. So it's trying to get people to focus back on, you know, try and get back to those good habits that we were doing before and understand, yes, the world's probably not going to be the same, but we can't stay in that pattern that we were doing without really damaging our health. So like I say, simple things like the work setup. You know, if you're going to be working from home more often now, it's like, well, we need to get a proper setup at home. And I know people are limited with space, but even things like, let's say you're working, you know, we did a little video on this, which we'll make available over lockdown. We talked about if you're working from a laptop, just get a stand, you know, and you can get like a USB keyboard and mouse, you know, quite cheaply, and then you've got a, again, more of a desktop setup. You know, even without a stand, just put it on some books or boxes, so just so you've got it at eye level. Because what we don't want to do is say looking down. If you can get a standing setup, it's even better. So again, I know a lot of people, they got one of the stands, put it on the kitchen side, so they were doing a more standing setup, which is the ideal position. You know, in the reception at work here, all the girls, they're stood up the whole day. They'll do a 10-hour shift and they're stood up and they're typing at the computer in a standing position. So that's the best position. If not, you know, say get the screen really high, that the eyes are in the middle of the screen, the keyboard's not, or mouse isn't too far away from you. If you are sitting a really upright chair, you know, that's supporting your back. Better still, sitting on a gym ball, that's really good, because again, engaging your core, that's better for your circulation. You get these wobble cushions that you can sit on, or saddle stools, they're quite good, because again, it makes you sit more upright as opposed to disengaging those core muscles.
Is that what you're sat on now, the saddle
stool? That's exactly what I'm sat on now, yeah. Keep me alert while I'm talking to you, Pete.
No, it's very good. I do like them, because it straight away, it just forces you to be more upright, doesn't it?
Yeah, and again, we were talking about, we were designed to be hunter-gatherers, you know, so I'm not saying run around with a spear, but yeah, if we can get as close to that is, you know, ideal spinal positions we can, for as long as we can, it's going to have less of an impact on our long-term health.
Can't come into work today, sorry, I'm busy with my spear. I'd love to, but I can't. People talk about hot desking, so say 3 days a week in the office, twice at home. Would you advise that, I know we've already talked about the limitation of space and people are aware of the cost of living, so it's not, you know, perhaps a situation where you can just throw money at it. But is it better if you can try and make your workspace at home as similar as that you have at work? So therefore, your posture, your spine isn't having to adjust too much.
Sometimes just talking to work as well. You know, a lot of people just not even thought about it, but they could probably go to work, you know, ask work and they'll probably provide things as well. But like I was saying, some of these are just, they're not expensive to kind of, you know, resolve. It's just a case about thinking about it. I mean, ideally, if you could have a room where you can shut off as well, because I always think, you know, I love my work, but I like also going home and switching off from it. And I think a lot of the mental health issues is that there's never a separation. So even though you're home with your family or your children, you're never really with them, because you're constantly going back and forth from work. So I think you do need that separation. If you can just, you know, close the door, turn the key or something, switch that off, I think mentally that's a lot better for you. And again, if you've got that bit of space where you can set up properly and then again allocate that time, I think, you know, what I've learned over the years is when we're working, we're better doing tasks individually and having full concentration on those. Whereas if we try and do bits and pieces of everything, we're very inefficient and it takes us a lot longer. So I think, say if you are working from home, just like you at work, you've probably got set times to go from. It's great to have some flexibility and fit things in, but I think as a main, it's good to say, right, I get up at this time, you know, I work from this time to that time, then I've got my family time, I've got my exercise time, or and having that routine, I think, is so important. And I think that was probably the lack of routine we had, you know, over the lockdown. It wasn't a time issue. It was that lack of structure and routine that people stopped exercising, started eating takeaways, started getting stressed and then eating all the wrong things. So I think, you know, me personally, and I think it works better for you and your health if you're doing that separation and saying, right, this is my work, rather than, as you say, if you've got your laptop at the kitchen table and you've got your kids running around and doing that. I know I can't concentrate at all. And as I say, it's not good for your posture, your health either.
So Jason, with regards to some of the things that we've just talked about and the issues that people have had, whether that be caused by working at home or just poor posture in general throughout life, there's one particular case. One gentleman who, now we're going to put some photos, some x-rays, I believe, on the website on yourharrogate.co.uk, so you can read more about this gentleman, but just tell us about this particular case, because, I mean, given his age, it is quite extreme, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is the thing, we're seeing it earlier and earlier, and people really don't appreciate how big an impact the central nervous system has on your overall health if it's not functioning well, and how stress will directly impact that. And we talked a bit about the digestive health and people's immune system. It's because of these changing hormones, because we're producing cortisol. Cortisol is like the stress hormone, but then that has a knock-on cyclic effect on other hormones in the body, you know, like adrenaline, like insulin. So you have this continual cascade effect through the body where it feels it's under threat. And like you say, massive effect digestive system, immune system, because it's down-regulating those systems. People don't sleep properly because, again, because their cortisol patterns, their kind of sleep rhythms knocked out, so they never go into a deep sleep. So then their energy drops significantly. And this, when the body feels like that, it actually robs other hormones from the body to create more cortisol, because we're producing more and more cortisol because the stress response is there. The body's like, oh, we're too low in stress hormones, so then we're going to steal other hormones. So it takes things like serotonin, dopamine, converts that to cortisol, so you can continue the stress response. But then this is when people get anxiety, depression, and it massively affects their outlook on life and then their relationships around them. So then this can affect how they're with their children, with their partner, affect libido. So, and then it's just like a catch-22 where they just keep going around in this circle. Now, one case that really stuck out for me was Thomas, who came in and we were chatting about his history and what, because we always look at what's gone on, what traumas, what type of work they do. And there was no real traumas that stuck out. But when I was doing the tests and we were doing like functional tests, neurological tests, we were seeing a lot of things flag up. And Thomas is only in his 20s. And there was some concerns there. So I said, well, we need to take some x-rays from what we're picking up from your tests. We did some x-rays of his neck and we actually found quite severe degeneration in his neck, which really surprised me because of his age. So then I asked him again, you know, have you had any traumas? And he's like, no, I had no traumas. And then he looked at, you know, one of his hobbies and he said, gaming. I said, well, you know, how much time do you get? He said, oh, no, I'm a serious gamer. I said, what do you mean? He said, I've always done gaming. And it really hit me then that, like, I'm in my early 40s, and when I was young, that we didn't really have computers, certainly didn't have phones, iPads. And even when we did have computers coming in, they took about an hour to load. So we'd go out and play football while you'd leave the game to load. Whereas he, when he was a young child, he said that he was given a Game Boy. So when he was like 4 or 5, he had this handheld device where he was looking down. And then he went on to like Mega Drive and PlayStation. And then he's gone into to work where he's been sat at a computer. So his whole life, he's been looking down at a screen. And it's probably, this is like one of the first generations that's come in that spent the whole life looking at screens. And it occurred to me that this is the damaging effect it's now having. His spine looked like someone much, much older, or someone who'd had much more physical trauma, where he's had no trauma and he was a young age. But it was just the accumulative effect. And we were talking earlier about teaching kids good posture and how important it is. And like I say, it's not one bad day of looking at a screen, but the accumulative effect, like heart disease. So when I was looking at his spine with the arthritis, the decay, it was like looking at, you know, arteries that had clogged up from years of, you know, abuse. And the damaging effect that has on his health is huge, because his spine was starting to create a revert, which you can see in the pictures. We should have that C shape we talked about before. His was actually a reverse curve, and the discs were severely compressed, and already his spine's laying down extra bone in terms of the osteoarthritis, you know, in his 20s. You think he's got a lot longer to live in that body. So the good news is he started care. He's been fantastic. He's followed our advice. He's done his exercises. We've got him on a cervical wedge, which is a device that he uses at home to help reverse that. He's limited his screen time, you know, and he's been in care just over 3 months. And when he came in, I can't list off all the things he was complaining of, but he was saying he had problems with allergies, headaches, migraines, neck stiffness. He wasn't sleeping correctly. He suffered from congestion, shoulder, neck problems, stiffness, skin conditions in terms of like rashes. He also had irritable bowel syndrome. So he had all these things going on. And just after 3 months, he's noticed immediately his headaches have stopped. You know, that was the main symptom he came in with and have stopped. His digestion's so much better. His energy levels, he's sleeping better. You know, because his nervous system isn't in this stressed, flex state, we start to open out, we start to take pressure off, start to return normal C curve. So the nerve flow from his brain is now getting clearer through to his body. And that's, you know, that's what a severe subluxation can do. Think of it like a hose pipe with a kink in it, reducing flow. So the organs at the end of it, or a dimmer switch, so the electricity is not getting through to the light bulb. Well, you know, your nerve signals, they're electricity. So if you're shutting that down, those organs are going to be duller. They're not going to be performing as well. So what we've found by with the adjustments, all these aspects of his health have changed and his stress levels are reduced and his posture's improving.
I do think it's fascinating because people still make the mistake, don't they, where they think, oh, a chiropractor, it's just because I've got a painful back, you know, I go see a chiropractor, but it's linked to everything in the body. And sometimes issues, I suppose, like you mentioned there, libido, people don't feel that confident about maybe chatting about it, perhaps toilet habits, you know, IBS, IBD, that kind of thing. But this can go a long way to helping, can't it?
Yeah, I mean, your brain controls absolutely everything. You know, and how does it do that? Through the spinal cord. The spine is like armor that protects your spinal cord. If the spine isn't aligned, if it doesn't function, isn't moving correctly, that's going to affect that connection. So those, you know, every organ, gland, blood vessel, cell, if you like, is impacted by a poorly functioning spine.
So if people have been listening to the case study of Thomas, and again, do read the article that we've put at yourharrogate.co.uk and have a look at those photos, because it's quite shocking, really. But they've listened to that and they think, oh, that's me. What's the first step to coming and seeing you guys and getting on a path of treatment?
Just give us a call. I'm happy to have a chat and discuss your individual case. And then from that, get a good assessment. You know, if you've never had your spine properly looked at, you know, people just asking you, where does it hurt? That's not an assessment. You know, we take a good hour doing functional tests. We do nerve scans. If, like with Thomas, we needed to do those x-rays, that looked exactly what was going on. When we could match them with what was going on with his lifestyle and then put a care plan together to resolve his issues. Not just patch him up, not just numb things, actually deal with those underlying issues and get his health better, not just for today, tomorrow, but for 5, 10, 15 years down the line.
Well, thank you very much for your time, Dr. Jason O'Connor. Next month, what were you going to focus on?
Yeah, it's been great speaking again, Pete. Next month, we're going to be looking at sleep. I think sleep is huge. We're going to look at sleep position, what are the best pillows, mattresses, talk about really getting that right, because I think a lot of people do struggle with sleep.
Massively so, and sleep deprivation is very much underrated when it comes to causing a whole host of different issues throughout life. So that's going to be an interesting chat next time round. Remember, you can get this podcast in all the usual places where you listen to your podcast. We do appreciate you taking the time to listen. And of course, we will put it on the website, yourharrogate.co.uk.